Jesus is risen. And now may the grace and the presence of Jesus fill your lives this day and always. Amen. If you were listening to the Acts reading, or you go back and look at the Acts reading that we had this morning, you hear an amazing testimony. We hear Peter speaking on that very first Pentecost day, telling the crowds of the amazing truth about Jesus our Lord and his life and his death and his resurrection. Now, Peter pulls no punches when he enlists the crowds and all of us among those who are guilty of Jesus' death. But Peter also speaks about an inevitability to Jesus' resurrection. God, it was impossible for God to allow him to stay dead. Peter's proclamation here in Acts is a far cry from that first Easter day. Because when we look at the stories from that first Easter day, we have a huge selection of stories that include the disciples and doubt. It's not just Thomas who doubts, although his story brings the topic up to the forefront. Peter and the other disciples, Cleopas and his partner, all of the disciples who hear the testimony of the women, none of them believe. None of them believe what Jesus had told them earlier when he said that he would rise again. None of them believe when the women tell them, "We have seen the Lord." It's not merely doubt. It's more unbelief, and it is pervasive. Now, the disciples had all heard Jesus announce that he was going to go to Jerusalem and be betrayed, handed over, convicted, executed, die, and then 3 days later, rise again. Now, it was not once, it was not twice, but it was three times that Jesus made this announcement, and every time the disciples responded as if they had put their fingers in the ears and hummed, "I'm not listening." They didn't want to hear or believe about the betrayal. They didn't want to believe about the humiliation or the crucifixion. They especially didn't want to believe anything to do about the death. They didn't want to, and I think, in fact, they probably couldn't believe that any of that would happen. And yet it does. It has. And today's gospel begins with that same level of unbelief for everybody there. So what is it that took those people gathered in that upper room? What is it that takes us from unbelief to faith? What is it that Peter experienced that led to the amazing testimony we read in Acts, that led to his bold statement of faith? What is it that led the disciples to go and spread the good news of God's love in Jesus even to the ends of the earth? Well, what it is stuff that we see in this morning's gospel. Now, the primary gift, the primary thing that came to the disciples today to shift their unbelief to faith is the presence of our risen Lord. The ladies at the tomb, they were a little shocked, and even they were unbelieving when it was only the words of the angel that was telling them something. All of that changed when they met the Lord once again. The same is true for that group in the upper room today. It's easy to toss aside the words of all those silly women until the risen Lord stands before you. No locked doors kept him away. No fear for their own lives kept him away. Jesus is risen. And the risen Lord stands before them. It is the presence of our risen Lord that comes and begins to dismantle their unbelief. They now see and know and begin to believe that Jesus truly did rise from the grave. The presence of our risen Lord comes to us at this table, where Jesus is really and truly present in, with, and under this bread and wine. The presence of our risen Lord Jesus comes before us as we experience his love right here among our sisters and brothers. And also as we discover our risen Lord as he goes before us into the world, leading us and guiding us, the walls of unbelief begin to crumble. The next piece in this dismantling of unbelief is the gift of peace that Jesus speaks and gives. Now, Jesus had promised the disciples peace, not as the world gives, but peace. And so as Jesus re-enters their lives, as he enters into that room, the first words that Jesus speaks bestows on them the peace of God. Now, this is not just an end to fighting and fear. The peace of the Lord surpasses understanding, and it gives us courage and strength as we enter into a hostile world. Jesus grants that peace, and another brick in the wall of unbelief comes tumbling. We get that same peace from the same place. Jesus grants to us peace, and then we share that peace with each other and with the world around us as we live our lives. Next is the further gift of the Holy Spirit and a mission. Jesus says to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And the disciples are sent into the world to bring forgiveness into the lives of the people around them. Jesus had also promised to them the Holy Spirit and told us all that the Holy Spirit would stand beside us, would guide us, would forgive us, and prompt our forgiving of those around us. That's God's vision for the world, and it has now become our mission. The next brick in that wall of our unbelief falls before the patience of Jesus. Jesus is not upset with the disciples as they hide behind locked doors for fear. Jesus is not short with them for not believing the angels or the women. Jesus is not exasperated by Thomas and his demand to see and to touch, or he would not believe. From all the stories throughout the Old Testament to our gospel story to even our everyday lives, God in Jesus is patient with us. When we stumble, when we fall, when we behave as if we're the most important thing in the entire universe, Jesus is patient with us. We witness that patience today when Jesus appears for a second time for Thomas. Jesus shows his wounds. Jesus encourages faith. Thomas proclaims him my Lord and my God. That same patience is for us. That encouragement to faith is for us. There is always opportunity for us to proclaim that Jesus truly is our Lord and our God. You see, today I'm grateful to Thomas for his stubbornness and maybe even a little bit for his unbelief. I am grateful because it is through his eyes that we see all of this happening. We see the risen Lord. We see his wounds and we know the depth of Jesus' love through his willingness to suffer for the likes of us. I am grateful also for Thomas's statement of faith, like I am grateful for Peter's statement in Acts, because both of these moments show us that we are never trapped in our unbelief. There is always hope. At the conclusion of our gospel reading today, John, the gospel writer, tells us that all of these stories are written down and given to us that we might believe. Now, in John's gospel, the Greek word pisteuo is often translated as believe, when in other places in the New Testament, that same word is translated as faith. Belief is the beginning of faith. It's a necessary part of faith. But John wrote all of these stories so that we might have faith in Jesus Christ, because faith equals believing something, trusting something, and then acting as if those things matter in our lives. We can believe the promises of God. We can trust that those promises are real and true, and then we get to act as if all of those things are important. And that is faith. And for me, faith is an active word. It's not something you put on a shelf. It's somehow you live every day. Thomas's unbelief becomes faith when he confesses Jesus as his Lord and his God. The disciples' unbelief becomes faith as they begin telling people what they have seen and heard, and as the good news begins to go around. Peter's unbelief becomes faith as we hear him proclaiming to the crowds the inevitability of Jesus' resurrection and of the transformational power of God's love for us. Our unbelief becomes faith as we come to this table to experience the presence of God and the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Our unbelief becomes faith as we go from this place back out into the world with hope that comes only from Jesus. That hope, that peace, the guidance, the forgiveness, the strength, the assistance, it all comes from the resurrection of our Lord. So let us discover here Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Let us meet Jesus in the world as he goes out before us to show us opportunities to love. Let us praise God and proclaim to anyone who will listen that Jesus is risen. Amen.